Holy Father, I pray that your heavens will open up right now. As we surrender, we yield, we submit unto your mighty presence that is surely in this place. Father God, I pray may you touch every heart and release your resurrection power over every person standing on this ground tonight. I pray that there will be an increase of our current measure of spiritual sensitivity. May we become more aware of the reality of the closeness of your presence that is alive within, upon, and around us. That is alive within, upon, and around us. Say, Holy Father, I receive everything that you have for me right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, take my heart, open my heart, enlighten the eyes of my understanding. Help me to receive by your Holy Spirit tonight. May I encounter you tonight. Father, I pray for one more touch in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to see by the raising of your hands, who have attended this morning's second service, the second service. Because it depends on the route that I want to go, what message I want to preach. Listen, tonight is one of those nights that I've got a word that is burning in my bones like fire. I can't explain it. I don't know, maybe some of you can relate to this. There's a word that's burning in my bones. It's locked up and waiting to be unlocked. But it's going to take something. What is it going to take? Response. Amen. Now, this morning we spoke on the resurrection power of Christ Jesus that dwells within you and I. Now, I wanted to preach the same message this afternoon, but I felt led to go into the anointing. Amen. And to go into the dimensions of the anointing. Amen. Now, before I get into the message, I first would like to honor the spiritual authority that is over this house. Both Pastor Leon and Pastor Esteli Dupria, for once again entrusting me to take the pulpit tonight. This is an honor and a privilege. This is something that I do not take lightly nor for granted. Amen. It is truly an honor and a privilege for me to be able to stand here. And it's by the grace of God alone that I'm able to stand here and to minister the word of God unto you. Amen. Now, just to recap a bit, because the message tonight kind of ties up with the message of this morning. So for those who did not attend, just to recap a bit, we spoke on the resurrection power of Christ Jesus. Say resurrection power. Amen. You see, many believers have revelation of the cross, but they do not have revelation of the resurrection. Amen. Many believers have come to the cross unto salvation, and they got stuck there. They have failed to, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, to go beyond the cross and to journey from the cross to the resurrection. Amen. And how do you know whether you have journeyed from the cross to the resurrection? How do you know this? Because the Bible says that there are certain signs that will follow you. Amen. And these signs is that you will cast out demons and that you will speak in new tongues. And that you will take up snakes with your hands. You will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt you. And that you will lay your hands on the sick and they will be restored. When these things are not activated through your life or being made manifest through your life, it means that you have not yet caught the revelation of the resurrection. Amen? Amen? They have asked, what may we do that we may do the works of God? What can we do that we can do the works of God? In other words, what can we do to be partakers of the activities of the kingdom of heaven? What is the activities of the kingdom of heaven? Come on, I've preached on this before. Casting out demons, speaking in new tongues, raising the dead. These are things that is elementary for a believer. Amen. But you cannot do these things without the Holy Spirit. You cannot do these things without the anointing. It is only by the anointing and through the power of the Holy Spirit that you can be partakers of the activities of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. There is an anointing that will take you into a dimension that will cause you to be able to do the impossible. Where the natural laws of this world, time, matter, and space, become subject to you. Amen? I've kind of spoken, touched on this morning, where I've said that in the spirit, you can travel by a second. In the natural, it will take longer because you have to go out, you have to get in your car, and you have to drive where you have to get to. But in the spirit, you travel by thoughts. Amen? You guys with me? For a moment, for those who did not attend, just close your eyes. And I want you to imagine you're standing in front of your house. Just imagine it. Are you there? Are you there? Open the door. Is it open? Walk inside. Are you inside? Walk into your bedroom. It just took you not even a millisecond to travel in the spirit to your house. What if you can take that and make it manifest into the here and into the now? Amen. I'm telling you that you are divine. I'm telling you that you are holy. I'm telling you that you are anointed. I'm telling you that this is possible. Listen. Listen. This has even been possible in the Old Testament. How much more you and I that is filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many people think, okay, but what are you talking about? What is this man talking about? When Elijah went to King Ahab, in a time of severe drought and famine, he went up the mountain and said that I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And he got on his knees and he started to pray. A man that had the hand of God upon him. A man that had revelation of God. A man that was anointed even in the Old Testament. And he got on his knees and he understood the power of prayer. And this man started to pray. And he called for rain. The first time there was nothing. The second time there was nothing. The third time there was nothing. On the seventh time when this man got on his knees, this prophet, and he started to pray, he asked his servant, go and check. What do you see? And he says that I see a cloud in the form of a hand, and of a man's hand. In Ezekiel 37, it says that, and the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he took me out into the spirits, and he set me down in the midst of an open valley. I'm going to tell you tonight that God's hand is upon you, that tonight he's going to take you out into the spirits, and that he's going to set you down in the valley, overflowing with milk and honey. Amen. And Elijah told his servant, go tell King Ahab he must make ready his horses and chariots, and he better run because there's rain coming. He better run. And so King Ahab took his chariots and his horses. Now I'm speaking about war horses. These horses could run up to 80 kilometers per hour. And they started to run. And after a while, Elijah got up And the Bible says that the hand of the Lord was upon him. And he girded up his loins and he started to run. Listen. And he overtook the chariots and the horses. I want to tell you, it does not matter who is going before you or what it is that is going before you. You carry an anointing that will cause you to take over. You will overtake. Do you believe it? That is the question. Amen. Say dimensions of anointing. Say it again. Say that dimensions of anointing. Are you ready for a different dimension tonight? Are you ready to receive something new tonight? Amen. Now, before I get into this message, I need to explain to you the origin of the word anointing so that you will be able to understand the point that I'm trying to make throughout the message. Amen. Now, when studied, the word anointing comes from the ancient shepherds. Now, for those who do not know, a shepherd is a man or a person that looks after sheep. Okay, they attend to the sheep. Now, it is a well-known fact that these animals would have many parasites. Now, remember that when I preach, I tell you that listen spiritually to everything that I say. Do I have spiritual people with me tonight? I'm asking you because the moment you say yes, your spirit opens up. That is why I'm asking you, okay? And it was a well-known fact that these animals carried many different kinds of parasites. The most prominent type of parasite found on these animals was known as a tick. Who knows ticks? I see there's a few conservative people that do not know ticks. It is a nasty little thing. It actually latches itself to the animal skin and it causes the animal to become very irritable. So it causes the animal to scratch the whole time. It can cause a lot of diseases, a lot of sicknesses. So these things had to be treated in and out of season. Amen? You guys with me? So what they would do in those days, and even many times today, they apply the same method. They would take a certain type of oil and they would apply it to the affected area, and this will cause the ticks to fall down. Amen? So the application of the oil that causes the ticks to fall down was known as anointing. So it is the oil that you apply to the ticks that will cause them to burn. It will cause them to become irritable, uncomfortable, and they will fall off. Amen? So this whole process of applying oil to the affected area, causing the ticks to fall down, is known as the anointing. That is known as anointing. Now, this is of the utmost importance that you remember this, that they anointed the sheep. Say, they anointed the sheep. Remember this throughout this message. They anointed the sheep. Say it again. They anointed the sheep. Amen? So, the word anointing simply means to put something against the parasites. And God uses the same word to tell you that whatever demon might be sticking to you, that the moment the anointing comes upon you, that these things have to fall down and that they have to be destroyed. Amen? Now listen, you are the sheep of God, of Jesus. He said, Jesus Christ said that I am your shepherd and that you are my sheep. So you are his sheep. Now knowing that you are his sheep, know that no matter what parasite might be sticking to you, whether it be bondages, curses, sickness, poverty, agitation, frustration, I don't know, whatever it might be, whatever it is that is causing any form of oppression in your life, I want to tell you, it does not matter. When the anointing comes upon you, these things have to, no questions asked, they have to, without a doubt, fall down and they will be destroyed. Amen? Say the anointing. Say the anointing. I declare and I decree. Those watching over live streaming, I want to welcome you to the service tonight. You're going to be blessed by this word. Even watching over live streaming, I want you guys to stretch forth your hands as I release this word over you right now. I declare and I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, that the resurrection power of Christ Jesus, a yoke-breaking anointing, shall come raining down upon you right now, wherever it is that you stand, and that it shall destroy everything that has been pulling you back, everything that has been dragging you down, everything that is preventing you from stepping into the call of God. It shall be removed right now. Receive it. Amen. So the real definition of the word anointing is to take something, is to take oil and to put it on someone for a specific task and for a very specific mandate. Amen. For a very specific task and for a very specific mandate. And this task is to liberate and to set free. It is to cause whatever hindrance there might be to fall off and to be destroyed in your life. That's the reason for the anointing. Okay, there's two reasons for the anointing. The first reason is for things to fall down. Say, for things to fall down. The second reason for the anointing is to prepare you for a special task. It is to prepare you for a special task. Amen? Now, this is a part where I need you to listen. When there were sheep that was about to be slaughtered or to be sacrificed, the sheep that was used for sacrifice was known as a special lamb. Amen? They were the ones without any blemish. And they were also kept in a secret place. They were taken apart from the others, kept in a secret place. Amen? Now in Israel, there was a gate known as the Sheep's Gate. And close to this gate was a market known as the Sheep's Market. So when it was time for sacrifice, you would go to this market and you would get a sheep. Now, remember that these were no ordinary sheep. They were very well prepared. How were they prepared? How were they prepared? Now, we've had many people asking, why do we lay hands every single Sunday? Now listen to this. How they were prepared is by every time in its season, they would anoint the sheep and the ticks will fall off. They would anoint the sheep and the ticks would fall off. They would anoint the sheep, they would anoint, and they would anoint again, and they would anoint again, and they would anoint again, until the sheep was ready to fulfill the very purpose that it was ordained to accomplish by the true living God. Amen? Say anointing. I don't know if you're hearing me. There was a lamb taken to a cross without blemish that was anointed. Listen, when Israel would go to war, and they would lose battles, they would take one of these lambs and they would sacrifice them. One of these anointed lambs. And where they would lose, they would now start to win. Why? Because they have taken something that was anointed and they placed it upon the altar. There was a lamb taken that was anointed, that have laid down his life for you and I so that we can have life eternal. Many people only focus on the blood that was shed by the cross or on the cross. But let me tell you that this actually started even before the cross. When Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that his sweat, blood, and tears, his sweat and his tears was blood. Now, doctors will tell you that this is the highest form of stress that you can go through. You need to draw on the blood that was shed in that garden, because that is the blood that was shed for His perfect will for your life. The Father said, listen, Jesus said the following while He was praying. He said, Father, if it is by any means possible, may this cup pass from me. But not my will be done, but your will. Amen. You need to draw on the blood that was shed there. For that is the blood that was shed for His perfect will for your life. You need to say, Lord, I draw on the blood that was shed in the garden of Gethsemane. I draw on it. Not my will be done, but your will be done. Amen. Listen, blood was shed from His hands. Blood was shed from His hands. So that everything that you touch now will be blessed. Blood was shed from His feet. That everywhere where your feet now touches the ground, where it might be that you are walking, whatever atmosphere it might be that you're entering into, that atmosphere and that ground becomes subject to you as a son and a daughter of the true living God. Amen. Blood was shed from His back. The Bible says that He received 39 plus one lashes. Doctors will tell you that there is 40 main categories of diseases. He received 40 lashes. Sickness and disease have got no right in your body. For by His stripes, you have been healed. Blood was shed from His chest, so that your unrighteousness might be turned into righteousness, having been received, adopted as a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Blood was shed from His head, so that you will receive hope of eternal life. He took the cross upon His shoulders, and that cross bruised His shoulders. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. Listen. What made Jesus Christ credible is not His death. His death is an historical fact. I'm not saying that His death did not carry any power, as it was the most powerful act of love, of forgiveness, of mercy, of compassion, kindness, and goodness. Amen. But it's not the thing that made Him credible. The thing that made Jesus Christ credible was His resurrection. Say anointing. Many people ask the question, am I anointed? How do I know whether I'm anointed? Who have got that question sitting here? How do I know whether I'm anointed? Amen. Many people ask this question. What is the first reason for the anointing? To cause things to fall off. The second reason, it is to prepare you for a specific mission. Hang on. Something is, listen to this. To prepare you for a special mission. Right? Say prepare. Say I'm being prepared. Can you honestly sit here and say tonight that I am being prepared for a special mission? Who believes that? Listen to this. Mark 16, I love this verse, never gets old. Mark 16, verse 15 to 18. NIV version. And after the apostles have received revelation of the cross, but not just the cross, but as of the resurrection, Jesus told them that now you can go into the world and preach my gospel to all creation. Amen. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. You don't have to put this on. Matthew 3 verse 11 says that Truly, I baptize you onto repentance with water. But after me, there's one coming that is more powerful than I. And he will baptize you. Listen. And he will baptize you in the Spirit and with fire. It is the anointing that will come upon you. These are the very thing that you need to be able to perform the following signs. Amen. Now, does it say, just go on for me. And it says, and these signs will accompany only the prophets, only the pastors, only the apostles. Then at least I'm lucky. Who will it accompany? Who believe in Jesus Christ? Again, I'm asking you, are you being prepared for a special mission? Again, I'm asking you, are you anointed? Okay, now I'm going to get into the dimensions of anointing. Amen. Say dimensions of anointing. Put on the screen for me John 4 verse 14. King James. John 4 14. I've preached this before. The reason I'm preaching on it again is because Paul said that I will bring you into remembrance. Many times we will preach powerful messages and people will, after a few months, forget. So I just want to remind you of what you carry. Amen? And it says, but whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water. Say a well of water. Springing up into everlasting life. So the first dimension of anointing is the well dimension. Say well dimension. Amen. Now this type of anointing is only for yourself. It affects no one else. It is an anointing that is at work on the inside of you. It causes things on the inside of you to fall off. Amen. Let me tell you tonight that you do not need a nice car. You do not need a nice house. Hear me? Listen, in this church, we preach prosperity. And God loves it. God loves it when His people prosper. But these are not things that you need. What you do need is the anointing. Amen. What you do need is the anointing. So this type of anointing will cause things on the inside of you to fall off. This type of anointing will prepare you on the inside for a special mission. I want to tell you tonight, you're going to be anointed. But for those that already know that they are anointed, there shall be an increase of anointing. The second dimension, what is the first dimension? While anointing. The second dimension deals with the outside. Amen. It's called the river dimension. Put on the screen for me, John 7 verse 38. You guys still with me? Is this okay? Amen. Put on the amplified version, please. River dimension. Say river dimension. And it says, he who believes in me, again, he who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and what? Rivers of living water. Amen. And the well anointing, the Bible speaks of spring up a well. Amen. But now what happens is the closer you move to Christ Jesus, the more revelation you receive of Jesus Christ, the more of him you're being filled with, this well starts rising up. And it eventually starts to flow over. And it becomes a river anointing. And the Bible says that everything that comes into contact with this river shall come back to life. I want to tell you that when you start moving in this dimension, that whatever is dead in your life, that it shall be revived. It shall be uplifted. It shall be restored. I'm speaking about family members. I'm speaking about your marriage. I'm speaking about your finances. This river comes from somewhere. Put on the screen for me, Ezekiel 47 verse 9. Ezekiel 47 verse 9. King James. Spiritual exercise tonight. Jumping between the scriptures. I love it. Amen. Listen, I'm excited. I don't know about you. I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying myself because I know what's about to happen. And it says, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth and which moveth. Just put on the New King James. My King James tonight is a bit rusty. New King James, please. Listen, I'm excited. Our King is alive. Jesus is alive. Man, let me tell you, that excites me. To walk with an almighty, true, living God. What an honor and a privilege. Amen. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, whether the rivers go well, what flows from without your innermost being? Rivers of living water. And there will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live whether the river goes. Everything that comes into contact with this river. But what is this river? What is it? It is the anointing. What is it? It is you preaching the gospel. What is it? It is you casting out demons. Amen. It shall change those around you. You will walk into your business place. Your boss will start to manifest. You will not understand why. People around you will start to ask questions. What is this thing upon you? What is it with you? There's just something. I don't know what it is, but I want it. It is the river anointing. It changes. It uplifts. It restores. It heals. It will bring in a great multitude of fish. The Bible speaks that you will become fishers of men. In other words, the river anointing will attract something very powerful. And that is the lost. It will attract souls by the thousands. Amen. Do you believe it? What anointing is this? River anointing. What anointing do you flow in? Okay. Then the last dimension is called, this one is dangerous. This dimension is a killer. Amen. Just trying to get myself, sorry. Saying, flood anointing. This is the one that you use for warfare. Okay? So again, say flood anointing. Go for me to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 6. This is a yoke breaking anointing. This is the breaker anointing that the Bible speaks about, where you will move and something will go before you and it will clear the roads. this is the place that you reach where you start to walk in victory. Amen. You might be in the fire. Listen, the Bible says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It does not say that no weapon will be formed. Weapons will be formed, but they shall not prosper when you move in this dimension. Amen. And it says, inasmuch as these people refuse the waters of Shiloh that flow softly and rejoice in Rezin and in Remaliah's son. Sorry. Go on for me. Now therefore, behold, the Lord brings up over them the waters of the river. He brings up over them the waters of the river, strong and mighty. The king of Assyria and all his glory, he will go up over all these channels and go over all these banks. Listen, when there's heavy rains, what happens? There's floods. This is a flood anointing. It is a breaker anointing. It is where the river that flows from without your innermost being becomes contagious, becomes unstoppable. Where you walk by a knowing, by a revelation of exactly who you are in a resurrected king. Knowing that I cannot fail. Knowing that I cannot give up. Oh, knowing that I do not live for myself, but that I am a living sacrifice. A blessing being poured out to those around me. Amen. The flood anointing shall destroy whatever is sent out against you. A flood anointing. It is something that happens spontaneously. It just comes out. It is something you cannot prevent. Amen. Listen, it just happens. It just flows. And it destroys the work of the enemy. When you start to move in this dimension, it sends shivers down the spine of your enemy. Amen. Flood anointing. What anointing do you move in? Oh my God. What anointing do you move in? Flood anointing. Amen. Now, I've spoken on this in this morning, and I just want to touch on it again for those who did not hear it, but missed it. There are different levels of the anointing. Now remember, I spoke on two signs of the anointing, three dimensions of the anointing. Now there's two levels of the anointing. Levels of the anointing. You can be anointed, but have no power. You can be anointed and have no power. Amen. First level is that you can be anointed and still have a demon. You can. I'm having fun. You can be anointed and have a demon. King Saul was anointed. Amen. Yet he had a demon of jealousy. He could not stand the promotion of David to such an extent that he wanted to kill him. Amen. Can you rejoice when those around you are being promoted? Or amen. Or you can be anointed and have no power. Amen. When Jesus Christ was to be crucified and he stood in front of the cross, there was another man that was brought out by the name of Barabbas. Amen. Two people standing in front of a crowd, both with a special anointing, both with a very specific mission. It was God ordained that Barabbas should be in prison at the exact same time that this whole thing was playing down, when Jesus was about to be crucified. Amen. Now the word Barabbas, when broken up, when you split it into two parts, is Bar and Abbas. Amen. Bar means son of. God said in the Bible, Simon Bar Jonah meaning Simon, son of Jonah. So Bar means son of. Guys with me? Stay with me. And then Abbas, taking from the word Abba, meaning father. Meaning Barabbas, meaning son of God. Okay? So here we have two people convicted. Convicted. And they're asking, who shall we crucify? And the crowds yelled, take Jesus. Take Jesus. I want to tell you tonight that God will always send persecution to the one that has power. You did not hear that. You missed it. God will always send persecution to the one that carries power. If Barabbas was destroyed, what would have happened? Nothing. But the death of Christ carried power because he was anointed with power. Barabbas not. I want to tell you that if you go to your workplace and people are speaking against you, you are being persecuted, people are looking down at you, it feels like everything is going wrong, it is because you carry power. It is because God knows that you can handle it. If you get to a place and someone tells you, oh, everything is fine, I am fine, there's nothing wrong with me, you just pat them on the shoulder and say, don't worry, God is but only sparing you. Don't worry, God is only sparing you. He will always let you go through trials and errors because he knows that you can handle it. Because you have power. Because you carry the resurrection power of the true living God on the inside of you. And he knows that no matter what it is that he sends your way, that you will just walk right through it. And nothing will be able to stop you. Amen. When an angel appeared to Lot and told Lot and his family, get out of this city because I'm about to destroy it by fire. Anointed but no power, they could not stay in the fire. Run and don't look back. Because the moment you stop and you look back, you will change. Amen. But Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were anointed with power. They were thrown right into the fire. King Nebuchadnezzar threw. He took these three men and he thrown them right into the fire. Turned around like usual, thinking that it's done, that he have won. And then he heard a praising and a worshiping going on. And he stopped and he said, hey, what is this? What is happening here? What is taking place? And he turned around and he looked down and he saw four people. And the fourth looked like the son of the true living God. I want to tell you that it is in the fire that you will meet and encounter Jesus Christ. Amen. It is in the fire that you will stand and that you will rejoice and that you will sing that victory belongs to Jesus.